name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The scandal of priests who have abused minors has been a recurring theme in the media for a long time. A moral panic or fear of priests has been created, as if they are all the same, or as if the issue is so widespread that it is a global threat, especially for Catholics who take their children to catechism or parish groups. They have wanted to discredit the Catholic Church with these scandals, as if it were the only corrupt institution, and therefore without any moral authority to reveal its doctrine and teachings to the world. Some have spoken of a crisis unprecedented since the start of Protestantism. The relaxation of the customs, together with the sexual revolution, entered the church and admitted in the seminaries many homosexual men who have been the main causes of the scandals. In this series, we want to clarify things, see the seriousness of the matter, and the magnitude of these scandals in their proper measure. We will also see that the Catholic Church is not the only one affected, but also, and much more so, the Protestant churches and other religions. And above all, that these problems are much more serious in other professions, especially among teachers, in society in general, and in the family itself. Fundamental steps have already been taken to overcome this crisis in our church. No institution in the world has done more to eradicate this social scourge from within. Clear and concrete steps have been taken to punish abusers, including clergy who view child pornography on the internet. We hope that other institutions follow their example, because these abuses unfortunately occur in all social environments. There are millions of minors who are victims of sexual abuse in the world, about whom little is said, as if only the victims of Catholic priests suffered or were important. The crisis caused by the sexual scandals of many Catholic priests throughout the world has had no precedence since the start of Protestantism in the 16th century. Throughout the 20th century, scandals began to appear from the 1950s, and especially between the 1970s and 1980s. But the magnitude of the crisis and its seriousness were not known until 2002, when hundreds of cases of abuse suddenly appeared, which were committed 30, 40, and even 50 years ago. In the United States, where the crisis broke out, seeing cases of serious denunciations almost every day in the newspapers moved the church and North American society in particular, but also the whole world, since the news had a worldwide echo. For good Catholics, it was shocking to learn that many priests, whom they called fathers, had engaged in dishonest sexual conduct and had abused children and adolescents. It was sad and moving. This shock was increased by learning that some bishops had not been able to understand the seriousness of these abuses and allowed some of these priests to continue exercising their ministry in other places where they continued to abuse minors. Let's hear some examples of cases that appeared in the U.S. media in the year 2002 and were often blown up and exaggerated due to the anti-Catholicism inherent in American culture. On January 6th of the year 2002, the Boston Globe published that John Geoghegan, a former priest, had been accused of having abused many children and had been transferred to three different parishes after receiving, before each of the transfers, guarantees from psychologists that he was cured. The diocese had to pay $30 million US to the victims. he was demoted and reduced to lay status in the year 1998. In 2002, he was sentenced to 10 years in prison, and at the age of 68, he was murdered on August 23rd of 2003 by a fellow prisoner. On February 15th, the Diocese of Manchester in New Hampshire announced that the prosecutor had received the names of 14 priests accused of sexual abuse. 7 of them were suspended as priests, and the rest were suspended that same day. On March 4th, the Los Angeles Times reported that Cardinal Roger Mahoney had ordered 12 accused priests to withdraw voluntarily from ministry before removing them personally. On March 6th, the Diocese of Cleveland announced that 9 priests were under investigation for sexual abuse of minors, while another 12 had left active ministry. Reverend Donald Rooney, in 1980, had taken his own life after being accused. There are other cases, such as that of Gilbert Gotha, which was one of the most commented on. He had been raped as a child, and when accused, was sent to a psychiatrist in the year 1976. He left the priesthood and continued to harass the children of his wife's previous marriage. He had to spend several years in jail. Rudolf Koss had been abused as a child by his uncle. He entered the seminary after being married and having had his marriage annulled. In the seminary, he had relationships with other seminarians. In the year 1998, he was demoted to lay status for his child abuse. The Diocese of Dallas had to pay $120 million U.S. dollars for him to the victims. James Porter was ordained as a priest in the year 1960, left the priesthood in 1974, and married. In 1992, his case came to light on television, and there were 46 complaints against him. He had international coverage. He was sentenced to 20 years in prison. He died of cancer in February of 2005. Paul Shanley defended publicly active homosexuality. In 2004, he was demoted by the Pope and sentenced by a civil court. Also, some bishops were involved in abuses, and although some denied the charges as false, all resigned and their resignations were accepted. There were also false accusations, such as that of Cardinal Joseph Louis Bernardin, who was wrongfully accused in Chicago courts by Stephen Cook of having abused him in the mid-1990s. As he narrates in his book, The Gift of Peace, he decided to face this terrible accusation with faith in the truth, since from the depths of his heart came the words of the Lord, "The truth will set you free." John chapter 8, verse 32. His first reaction was to write a letter to his accuser, in which he asked to meet with him, since he was convinced that he had trouble praying. After 100 days of judicial process, the court agreed, given the unfounded accusation, to archive the case. The cardinal decided not to open a new accusation against the false accuser, but, aware of the sad situation of his accuser Stephen Cook, sick with HIV, the cardinal entrusted him to his prayers and sought the opportunity to meet him. The interview took place on December 30th of the year 1994 at the St. Charles Borromeo Seminary in Philadelphia. Stephen asked the cardinal for forgiveness, and the reconciling led to the celebration of a Mass in which Stephen received the anointing of the sick from the hands of the cardinal. The reconciliation was perfect. The reality of the Church as a spiritual family made all its sense. Stephen Cook maintained a correspondence with the cardinal and died at his mother's house on September 22nd of the year 1995, fully reconciled with the Catholic Church. The greatness of this conduct by Cardinal Joseph Louis Bernardin contrasts with the malice with which he was presented to the Catholic Church in this alleged scandalous case. After the truth was clarified, unfortunately, the cardinal's heroic attitude had almost no impact in the media. The statements of the one who falsely accused him had enormous media coverage around the world, but his retraction was hardly circulated. Cardinal Bernardin suffered greatly in this entire process. A few months later, pancreatic cancer was discovered, for which he underwent surgery. Sometime later, the cancer returned to manifest itself in the liver. He made the decision to reject chemotherapy and live fully the days that remained until he returned to the Father's house. Finally, the President of the United States, Bill Clinton, awarded him the highest distinction of the North American people, the Medal of Freedom, for his peacemaking spirit, dedication to others, and attention to the sick and needy. And here is a bonus question and answer. Is speaking badly of a priest good for my soul? Remember that the devil exists and is interested in taking you into his kingdom of darkness, or in other words, to hell. For this reason, you must defend yourself with daily prayer, and above all, frequent confession and communion, which are the two things the devil hates the most. In addition, devotion to our Mother, the Virgin Mary, through praying the Holy Rosary with love and faith, will permanently protect you. Learn the habit of discerning, as St. Paul the Apostle says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 21 to 22. Discern everything, and hold on to what is good, and shun every form of evil. Which means you need to discern everything without any exceptions. Please remember that God created us to love and forgive, and not to judge anyone, because the judgments you give are the judgments you will get, and the standard you use will be the standard used for you in your particular judgment after you die. Matthew chapter 7. Let's remember, God is always in control of everything. Matthew chapter 10, verse 29. If someone tells you things about priests and popes, please remember that priests and popes are people separated by God to be consecrated to God or someone sacred to God and to be at his service. They are acting in persona Christi, which means they are acting in the person of Christ. And this goes above the behavior of the priest, his fidelity to the church, whether he is in sin or not. And when we see that our priests are not on the right track, instead of speaking badly of them, making scandals, or criticizing them, it is best to pray for them. Don't risk your soul's eternal destination, whether that would be heaven or hell, because others speak badly about priests and popes. You only live once in this life. But now you tell us what you think about the Catholic Church and sexual abuse of minors. Comment below and share your opinion. If you like this video, please subscribe to the 99 Catholics channel. Thanks for your support. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen.